Soon in your hand will be placed a priceless gift. Look at it closely. There is no price marker stamped on it. It cannot be weighed because no scale can balance its value. A king's ransom in comparison is as nothing, yet it is given to beggar and prince alike. The giver asks only that it be used wisely and well. This jewel, rare and unique, is not displayed in any shop window. It cannot be purchased, cannot be sold. No other treasure holds the possibilities this gift offers. None can surpass its golden splendor. Of all gifts, this is one of the most precious. It has been offered many times before. Today, from the depths of a limitless love, it will be given again. It will be left to you to find the golden thread running through it. Only with great care will the jewel retain its luster. Carelessness, ingratitude, and selfishness will tarnish the brilliance, break the unspoiled thread, mar the perfection. Guard it closely, lest through weak fingers it slip from the hand. Look often at its faultless beauty. Accept it as it is offered from the heart of the giver. Consider it as the most treasured of possessions. For of all gifts, it is by far the greatest. It is the gift of time, and the giver is God Almighty, author unknown. Time is the period between creation and the second coming of Christ, and it is our most precious gift. Practically speaking, it is the period between one's birth and one's death. We see it on the gravestone just by a single dash. We have the year of one's birth, the dash, and then the year of the death. And that dash represents a person's life. It represents time. Time is always in short supply and great demand. Everything requires time. Most people take for granted this unique, irreplaceable, and necessary resource. Nothing else distinguishes Christians from ordinary people as much as their use of time. Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We can see that things haven't changed a great deal since the hundreds of years before Christ, which this was written. Our lifespan is still about the same. But as each of us consider that very short lifespan, there are some things for us to ponder. How can I apply my heart to wisdom? In other words, what is my purpose and goal while I have time, and what can I do to accomplish it? Time is remarkable because it is not replaceable. There is no way to retrieve it. There is no way to retrieve even 1 second once it passes. This is not true with other things. A person's character can crumble, but it can be rebuilt. One can lose his health, but he can become well and recover. We can lose friends, but they can be restored, and we can gain other friends. Money can be lost, but it can be remade again. It can be regained. However, once time has passed, it is gone forever. We might think of different times in our life where something, we had a negative experience, and we think, I wish I had that however amount of time, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. I wish I had that 10 seconds of my life back. For instance, we could just sit here for a second, and I have just wasted a second of your time, and you will not get that back. Once it's passed, it's gone forever. We talk about finding time, making time, and saving time, and we know that those are figures of speech, but that we can't actually do those things. We can't find time, make time, or save time. There is no time to be found, and none has been lost. We can't make time. Scientists have not come up with a way that we can make time. Even 1 minute can be added to the day. Making time. We cannot make time. We cannot actually save time. We can find better ways to use our time, but we can't truly save it. I can't be lying on my deathbed at the end of my life and say to someone, please go to the vault, to the place that I've been saving time. This is a good time for me to use that I've been saving up. It can't be done. Once we have it, it's ours to use. We can't do anything with it. All we can do is make the best of it. Death soon overtakes us. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. In other words, once you're dead, there's no going back. It's over. So while you're here on earth, make the most of your life, make the most of your time. We should take advantage of the opportunities that we have. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. See then, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Someone wrote, just a tiny little minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me. Can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it, and I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Let's all consider the time that we have and what we're doing with it. Time is remarkable because it is elusive. We often have made these statements. Where did the time go? This is odd because our generation has more time-saving devices than any other generation in history. 75 years ago, it would not be uncommon for a man to plow all day with his team, and he would turn over about 2 acres. It would not be uncommon for a woman to milk the cows by hand. She made nearly all of the clothing by hand. She washed clothes on a washboard and hung them on a clothesline to dry. Today, the man with a tractor plows 50 acres in a day. The wife doesn't milk the cows anymore. She buys her milk and butter at a nearby grocery store. In most cases, she has a washing machine and a dryer for the clothes. And what's sad is that we claim that we don't have time when we have all kinds of time-saving devices. So what are we doing with that time? We have more leisure time today than in any other time in the history of man. Without doubt, the greatest robber of time for our generation is television. The average family watches 6.46 hours of television per day. They see on average 175 commercials each day. That's a cumulative of the whole family. And that's from the Boston Globe. The only things Americans do more than watch television are work and sleep. It's difficult to comprehend the waste from watching television. It's been estimated by the age of 20, the average American will have been exposed to at least 20,000 hours of television. Calculate for a moment what could be done with even part of those hours. In 5,000 hours, that's a typical college undergraduate spends working on his bachelor's degree. In 10,000 hours, half of that 20,000 hours that one spends watching television before the age of 20, you could learn enough to become a doctor, lawyer, or an engineer. In that time, you could have learned to speak several languages fluently. You could have learned to read the Bible both in the original Greek and Hebrew. You would have had enough time to walk completely around the world and write a book about it. So that is just in the first 20 years of life, the average person that they spend watching television. And so we often say, where does the time go? We might want to look there. We list 3 basic avenues in which we should use our time wisely. We should learn what true discipleship is. A disciple is simply a student and follower of another. We are disciples of Christ. A group of Christians once, and perhaps still do, use that name on their church building, Disciples of Christ. And maybe we're shy to use that name because we know what that entails, to be a disciple. It means a follower. It takes hard work. We're a student and a follower of Christ. A true disciple will learn what it takes to become a Christian, will learn how to worship in spirit and in truth. John 8, 31, 32. If I had met him walking by the Blue Galilee, would he have stopped and said, "Follow me"? And if he had, I wonder, when I think it through, how could I have followed him with so many things to do? We need to take time to lead someone to Christ. We need to think of prospects, even if it's just one person, to think, "I want to lead one person to Christ." 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Of course, that's also the Great Commission. Jesus said to go into all the world and make disciples. Proverbs 11, verse 30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." And I won't be able to cover everything in this short talk, but just a few things that we need to be, that's perhaps the most important thing we need to be doing with our time. We also need to be taking time to show kindness to someone. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" To do all of those things takes time. It means you have to sacrifice something out of your life in order to do those things for someone. Take the time to show kindness to someone. As it is said here, we will be judged by that. Time for personal prayer, devotion, and worship. Psalm 104, 34, "May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord." Psalm 119, 18, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." It's going to take time in order for us to contemplate God's wonderful word and the good things that he has done. Psalm 145 and 5, "I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and of your wondrous works." How do we meditate if we're spending our time on constant recreation and pleasures? We need to take the time. Time to offer an apology that saves a friendship. Matthew 5, 23 and 24, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come offer your gift." So we need to make things right with our brethren if there's a rift, and that will take time out of our lives. Time to show family members consideration as well. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, "If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Ephesians 6 and 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." It takes time to raise your family and to do good to all your family members. Time to speak words of encouragement. And there might be many in this number that need words of encouragement. We need to take the time to do that. Ephesians 4 and 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Let's take the time to impart that grace, those good words. Let us use our time wisely. "When I was a child, I slept and wept. Time crept. When I was a youth, I laughed and talked. Time walked. Then I became a full-grown man. Time ran. When older still, I daily grew. Time flew. Soon I shall be traveling on. Time gone." The wise will do the things that need to be done while they have the time and opportunity to do them. Let's take heed to the to those things, apply our hearts to wisdom. If you are not a Christian, you need to do that before it is too late. Consider your soul. Or if you've left the Lord, that things are not right, you don't know how much time you have, but you do have time right now. So we would encourage you to make things right. Let's consider the time that we have. It might be good for us to just even look back at our day. We think, well, I don't watch that much television. I don't spend that much time on recreation. But if you were actually to just take a day to chart it and to look to see where your hours are going, I think you might be surprised. So let's use our time wisely. Thank you.